Let's continue in our talks from Colossians by reading Colossians 2, verses 18 through 23. In these verses, Paul warns the Colossian believers about the dangers of distorting the Christian faith through mysticism, verses 18 and 19, or through asceticism, verses 20 through 23. Now let's take each of these sections separately and give a couple of background notes, a doctrinal point, and a practical application for each section. Let's read, first of all, the section on mysticism, verses 18 and 19. Colossians 2, 18. Let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase which is from God. First of all, some background notes. The primary reason why Paul wrote this letter to the church at Colossae in the first century was to warn them of the dangers of false teaching. The particular brand of false teaching that Paul is warning against is a mixture of Judaism and what later became known as Gnosticism. The Apostle Paul is not worried about the Colossians becoming heretics overnight or something like that. His main concern is that the elements of the false teaching don't make their way into the truth, and the Colossians end up settling for a distorted Christian faith, a faith which would not be Christ-centered and Christ-focused, a faith where Christ would not be supreme and all-sufficient. That danger, by the way, is possible today as well. Let's not settle for a distorted Christian faith. In chapter 2, Paul points out that there were and are four particular areas where it would be possible to stray from a Christ-centered Christianity, then and now. There's the area of philosophy or worldviews. There's the area of legalism. We've already looked at the dangers in these areas. Now here in the section that we're looking at tonight, there's the danger area of mysticism, verses 18 and 19, and the danger area of asceticism, verses 20 through 23. Now a doctrinal point from these verses concerning mysticism. Mysticism is not Christ-centered, but self-centered. Mysticism is not Christ-centered, but self-centered. What is mysticism, anyway? Mysticism is the belief that direct knowledge of God, spiritual truth, and/or ultimate reality can be attained through subjective experiences. There definitely was a mystical trend in the false Gnostic teaching. The mention of the worship of angels here shows Paul has this in mind. Remember, in Gnostic thought, there was this false teaching of a supreme being and then a series of emanations descending like ripples in a pond till finally you get down to matter. And these emanations included a whole host of angels and spirit beings. Well, Paul is definitely refuting anything about the worship of angels here and this Gnostic thinking. The worship of angels or prayer to angels is certainly unbiblical. Now, we want to point out that the Bible is not against subjective experience. Romans 5, verse 5 speaks about the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given unto us. Well, that's certainly subjective. That's the warm feeling side of Christianity, if you will. But the danger, you see, is to want these feelings all the time. And so you begin to focus on spiritual experiences, visions, the dramatic spiritual gifts, and so on. This can easily lead to mysticism and the idea that you don't need scripture. All you need is spiritual experiences and you have a direct line to God. You can attain direct knowledge of God and spiritual truth and ultimate reality through these subjective spiritual experiences. That's unbiblical. The danger of mysticism is ultimately that it is not Christ-centered but self-centered. Look at verse 18, the end of verse 18. Vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Emphasizing visions and other spiritual experiences leads to pride, whether the visions are seen or not seen. There's nothing worse than meeting Christians who tell you with false humility that because they are spirit-filled and have had certain spiritual experiences, they have a direct line to God. With fleshly pride, they are implying that you are not spirit-filled. And you are missing out because you are unspiritual and you don't have a direct line to God. Don't believe it. As the beginning of verse 18 says here, don't let anyone defraud you of your reward. The idea there is not salvation. It's the idea of taking away our great privilege, as Hebrews 10 verse 19 says, all Christians can have boldness to enter the very presence of God through Christ. Don't be defrauded of your prize by anyone saying you have to have these certain spiritual experiences. In verse 19, we see Christians who go off on a mystical trend do not hold fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase which is from God. Christians who go off on a mystical trend do not hold fast to the head. They are no longer Christ-focused. They are focused on their own spiritual experiences. Mysticism is not Christ-centered, but self-centered. Practical application. Let's be careful about spiritual experiences. Let's be careful about spiritual experiences. Look at verse 19 once again. If you go off on a mystical trend, you're not holding fast to the head. As an illustration, take the case of a paraplegic or a quadriplegic. The problem is not in the head or the body. It's in the fact that they're not connected. There's been a break in the spinal cord. Well, you see what this passage is saying? Christ is the head and we are the body. There must be a vital connection. He's the source of life and growth, as we see here in verse 19. Holding fast means to be in close fellowship. And the primary way we stay in close fellowship with the head is to stay in his word. Remember John 15? The Lord said, I am the vine, you are the branches. How do we abide in the vine? What's the scripture indicate there? To abide in the vine is to abide in his word. We need then to be careful about spiritual experiences, because the more we are occupied with the spiritual experiences of the body, the less we are holding fast to the head of the body. Did you ever notice how a Christian who gets into spiritual experiences begins to taper off in his or her systematic Bible study? Warm, fuzzy feelings become more of a priority. Sharing what the Lord told me or showed me, even apart from Scripture, begins to take center stage more and more. Watch out for this mystical trend. Let's be careful about spiritual experiences. Again, we're not saying that God doesn't give spiritual experiences. There is the subjective side of the Christian faith. But let's be careful about spiritual experiences. Now let's read the last four verses of Colossians 2, verses 20 through 23. These verses have to do with the danger area of asceticism, that is, severe treatment of the body. Colossians 2, verse 20. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Some brief background notes for this last section of Colossians 2. Verse 21, by the way, do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, is not a verse that the Lord put in the Bible for Christian mothers so that they could post it on the refrigerators when dad and the kids were supposed to stay out of there. That would certainly be taking it out of context, but it might work. The context of verses 20 through 23 is a warning to the Colossians of the first century and to us today to watch out for the dangers of asceticism. Severe treatment of the body. Don't settle for a Christian faith that has been distorted through asceticism. And that leads us to our doctrinal point. Asceticism is not taught in the Bible. Asceticism is not taught in the Bible. Asceticism is the belief that salvation and or sanctification come through severe treatment of the body. Persecution of the body to save the soul idea. There was this trend in the Gnostic false teaching around Colossae. Now, Paul is not worried about the Colossians settling for an ascetic brand of salvation, but there was the danger of a wrong idea concerning sanctification or becoming spiritual. I mean, it sounds so logical, doesn't it? The idea that you keep your body in check by severe treatment. Aren't you more spiritual if you keep your body in check by persecuting it? You can see how some people could be taken in by that, then and today. The biblical answer is discipline, yes, asceticism, no. Look at verse 20. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? You see, here's the point. If we've died with Christ, that's our position. We've talked about it before. Then why go back to the basic or elementary or worldly principles of trying to keep the flesh in check by your own willpower? Think of it. The flesh or sinful human nature trying to hold in check the body by the flesh or the sinful human nature. It's crazy. It's like the fox guarding the chicken coop. Doesn't work. The scripture is teaching us here that we've died with Christ to everything that has to do with the flesh trying to please God. In verses 21 and 22, we see that trying to keep man-made regulations about temporary things is to be involved in the work of the flesh and not recognize that we've died with Christ. Again, bodily discipline is biblical, but asceticism is not. Asceticism, thinking you're becoming more spiritual through severe treatment of the body or keeping some set of man-made regulations concerning the body, that's not biblical. Bodily discipline, self-discipline is biblical. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, Paul said, I discipline or I buffet my body and make it my slave or bring it into subjection. That's biblical. But severe treatment of the body, persecution of the body, thinking you're chalking up points with God by that means, that is not biblical. Setting the alarm clock early to get up and read the Word of God is discipline. It's biblical. Crawling on your knees for a mile a day, thinking you're making points with God, is asceticism, and it's not biblical. Asceticism is not taught in the Bible. Practical application. Don't think that you can become more spiritual through asceticism. Don't think you can become more spiritual through asceticism. Now, most Christians today are not facing that danger, but there's always the possibility that some could get into it. Asceticism may look spiritual, but it doesn't work. Look at verse 23 once again. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. I knew of a young man who studied for the priesthood before he became a born-again Christian, and he said that they would have to practice flagellation. That's where you beat your body. That's asceticism, severe treatment of the body. He said that they cheated. They would go into their rooms and they would beat the bed and cry out, oh, but they were cheating. See, it's exactly what the scriptures say here. Asceticism is of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. It doesn't work. Asceticism has never worked. After the Roman persecutions in the 4th century, there was an age, a period of asceticism where Christians went out and lived in caves and only had bread and water and so forth. But it didn't work. These people didn't become more spiritual. It didn't make people more spiritual then, and it doesn't make Christians more spiritual today. There's only one way to check fleshly indulgence, and that comes to us in Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Don't think you can become more spiritual through asceticism.